you doing?
I was reading. Alien theorists theorizing Case File 12 megalithic structures.
Sounds sinister.
Yeah. So that's on the docket. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Barn.
Barn's back.
I'm Dan.
And we got Dan.
So for our listeners, we did post a picture of ourselves. The lighting's bad. First off,
I try to tell you.
Blame it on the lighting.
I try to tell you that lighting in the studio is terrible.
It's rainy out. I'm going to blame it on the rain.
It's not snowing.
On the lights. Quick. I got a funny story. This guy at work, man, he is just a fucking... He's such a dud. Yeah. Oh, man. Like, everything that comes out of his mouth, he's just so beautifully stupid.
Well, that's a nice way, that's a nice way to put it.
A couple weeks ago, I was singing at work, as I do sometimes when I get bored, and I was singing that, I think it's a Gloria Estevan song, where it's come on, everybody, gotta do that conga.
Any longer. Yeah,
and
I know that one.
I'm humming it and shit, and this guy turns to me, and he goes, "Oh, you singing that Chimichanga song?" And I go, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." And then I start humming it again. I go, "Wait, what do you mean Chimichanga song?" And he goes, "You know, come on, everybody, eat a chimichanga." Like, you know, you can't help yourself any longer. I was like, "Dude, where'd you hear that?" He goes, "Like on the radio and shit." I was like, those are not the lyrics, man. They're just not the lyrics.
He legit thought Chimichanga.
It's not like from an advertisement or anything. He's just like, he really believes.
He really thought it was a Chimichanga song. And I was like, "Dude, it's come on, everybody, do the conga." He's like, "Oh, I always thought it was talking about chimichangas." I was like, "Holy.
What is a chimichanga?"
Chimichanga is like a little burrito.
Ah, right. For all you Australian listeners out there, chimichanga is a delicious frozen burrito.
Makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, but and that's what he thought it was, though. And I was like, man, it was hilarious. So that was my funny story from work, and this guy is just a dummy.
Does he have a name? Or
it's amazing.
I don't want to say his name because
he may listen.
He's asked about the podcast before, and I've told him the name. But if he hears the story, he's gonna know.
Well, you gotta know who he is. You gotta.
I think there's only one person who calls it the Chimichanga.
Yeah, Chimichanga song. Space news.
Space news.
It's February 12th today, and low to moderate chance of CMEs. So I'm going to say highly unlikely for any auroras. And I actually looked up for the Aurora Australialis or whatever. And they're not calling for any. So
just not happening.
Yeah, no auroras down under either. So,
but good. Nice accent.
You like that?
Yeah,
practicing.
Good work.
Got to get those Aussie listeners. But
man,
we got some way
news.
Better space news. Dan, you're gonna love this. The first modern day meteor strike killing.
My God, I can't believe this.
How awesome is that?
Strike killing.
Man, this is unbelievable.
So 4 days ago, so February 8th, a man wasn't struck by the meteor. It happened in India, and the meteor hit and made a 4-foot crater, but it hit so close to him that he died from the injuries from the shock. And
the shock wave.
Yeah, and stuff.
Wow, cool. Right?
And it's the first...
Not him, but...
It's the first modern day case of a meteor strike, like, ever. There's only one other, like in ancient times, and it also is in India. So if you're in India, your chances of...
Damn.
It's the only place people are getting killed by meteorites.
Man, at the moment. What could be the chances of that? Will it ever happen again?
Well, the odds are actually 1 in 250 million, which are better
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
You've got a better chance of getting struck by a meteor in India than winning the Powerball. So... Like, so if I never go to India, like, I'd have to go to India, like, the odds are pretty stiff, but, you know, I'm still less likely to win the Powerball.
It's your lucky day. You're going to be struck by space garbage.
Yeah. Oh, actually.
Wow.
Have you ever told your meteorite story there, Zell?
Oh, I do have a meteorite story.
Yeah. But
now
that.
Well, now that
I got superpowers.
Now that I think about it, it's probably not a meteorite story. It was probably a chunk of poo, but
yeah, frozen poo.
I was like, I must have been like 17 or 18, like first summer on the job site, and this fucking meteorite or something crashed through the roof of a house, went right through the floor, and like cratered the concrete.
And there was a news report on our like local media, and it said meteorite crashes
for sure,
because
they called the university, and the university like astronomy team came out and like inspected it and shit. I never really heard what happened after that.
Hold on, who is the first one on the scene of this meteor crash?
Me.
Ooh.
And what did you do with the meteorite?
What any logical person would do, I ate a chunk.
A spice poo?
Well, who knows what it was? Well,
because when I read the story and I messaged him, he's like, yeah, I ate some. And I was like, I started making fun of him. I was like, you know, it's probably just frozen poo probably coming off an airplane.
It had a taste.
Salty.
Nutty?
No, it tasted like, it was salt. It tasted like a huge chunk of salt is what it tasted like. But I ate one like, what? No, I was 18. I was like, man, you eat a meteorite. Who knows what could happen?
Get superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. That's kind of right? Why I thought that at the time a little
Fingers
bit.
Fingers crossed. They haven't festered yet.
No, it's still dormant. It's still dormant.
Yeah, it'll come when you're most needed.
Which is...
when you're struck by gamma rays.
Yeah, you'll Hulk out.
But yeah, so yeah, I have actually ate a piece of space.
Yeah, so...
There's not too many people say they can do that.
Got a little space in you.
Or a little bit of airplane poo.
Yeah, little peanuts.
But you know what? By the time that hit through the roof, I don't know. It was a small meteorite or a small chunk of poo.
It crashed through the roof. It crashed through the floor. The floor joists and the flooring, and left a little crater in the concrete.
It was like a 3-inch like crumbled concrete.
So like, yeah, it hit hard.
It smashed.
You could have died.
As much as I
could have
died. Hey, you know what I'm going to say? If it
wasn't in the house,
if it wasn't an asteroid and it was in fact poo, it was poo coming from like
hot
the space center or something. There's some fucking...
That'd be a solid poo to make it through the atmosphere.
How'd you manage to eat it? Did you just, like, swallow it? Like, what'd you...
How hard
was it?
I never thought about that. You just dry dog that?
It was, like, the size of a grain of rice, pretty much, what I ate.
Oh.
It hit and splintered. Like, it splintered into, like, 1,000 pieces, pretty much.
Just shattered.
It was, like, pretty much dust, and there was a couple of, like, chunks around.
So nice. You just started licking...
I didn't lick it. I just ate it. I put it in. I tasted it. I was like, oh, it's salty. And then I just swallowed it. So, well, whatever. If I ate a little poo, like whatever.
Oh, whatever. But it's a good story.
Space poo.
Yeah. Good story, either way.
How many people can say
space poo?
Space poo.
Not many. I know one.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's up for discussion still. Well, I don't know.
Man, we got more space news, actually.
You want to give this one?
Well, I got one more before the big one.
Okay.
Exoplanet BD20594b, supposedly the most solid planet ever found, half the size of Neptune.
I know, I heard that, like a solid rock.
There's like a straight, full-on, 100% solid, so they say. Well, who knows, but
yeah,
that's some space news.
That's
kind of cool. 500 light years away, so
that's thick.
In the constellation Aries. So we're not getting there anytime soon, but
yeah, and it's like at the same point, it's like who wants to go there? You know what I mean?
It's 16 times as massive as Earth, but only twice as wide. So that's kind of giving you a
pretty heavy.
How do they get those numbers? I wonder.
How do they get the weight? Kind of like it's going to
extrapolate
this
it through
they just
some
have
type
to
of
guess what it, I guess looking at the material what it would be like.
Well, they take like the electromagnetic spectrum and decide what type of elements is on there, I guess, and then. Make their
there.
Best guess. I don't know. Who knows?
I'm sure there's some smart people who are pretty close.
Someone knows.
Speaking of best guesses.
Oh, fuck yeah. This is good space news.
100 years ago,
pretty much a few days ago.
Einstein gave the theory of gravity waves. And 100 years later, we've detected them.
Just detected gravitational waves from a newly developed, it's called the Laser... Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory. They witnessed two black holes colliding and like becoming one, and that force was so the force was like, I heard them say, as much as all the energy of all the stars in the universe over like one trillionth of a second.
Well, I read the article and it was all the stars in the visible sky.
Okay, that's what it was. But right. Whatever it was. and that caused a ripple through space-time, and they've managed to detect it for the very first time.
Yeah. Yeah, just to clarify on the Einstein thing, he predicted that, like, the general theory of relativity is saying that, like, the bigger an object is, like, the more massive it is, that it will have the ability to, like, gravity, and it will, space and time will form around it. Like, it has the ability to
bend space, to shape. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the two massive black holes colliding, it was actually the only time we've been able, like, those two massive objects, so super massive and what they are, were able to force a visible or a detectable, like, you know, disturbance in, yeah, like, gravitational waves, you know.
And it was just so minor, too. Like, there's just such a,
yeah, small... it was like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers, and I couldn't even explain to you over the microphone what they are. 410 like Earth, plus Earth 160 does, minus 180, like, MPC.
I don't know what that means.
But that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's, so that's the first step of time travel?
Oh, yeah, that's my guess. We're on, well on the way now.
Yeah.
Why not?
Figuring out
we just gotta forge giant, massive black holes and smash them into each other. That sounds safe.
Flux capacitors, man. Flux capacitors. That's what we should be focusing on. Okay, well, should we get right into megalithic structures?
Megalithic structures.
Man, this one's been... people have been bugging us about this one for a long time. And I feel like they're going to be...
disappointed?
Disappointed a little bit, because...
unless Dan's got something good.
Well, it's not that they're not even good. So let's... I'll start. Let's start with Easter Island.
Sure.
Got some people writing on that one, and everyone knows Easter Island. You've got these big wacky heads. They don't know how they moved them, so they say. They don't know where they come from. There's some theories that they're made and moved by aliens and stuff. But you know what? A quick search, you can see, there's pictures of the, like, the heads, the Maori heads, I think they're called.
I think that's right, yeah.
There's, like, unfinished ones still carved, like, they're being worked out of the rock. And then I've watched videos of people, like, in modern day being like, oh, we can move them like this and this. Like, I've seen them roll them on logs. I've seen them stand them up and just, like, fucking shimmy them down the
just
road.
Just walk them down.
Yeah, walk because them down the road.
They're big, but they're not, like, ridiculously heavy. Big. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, to me, you know, the theory of the alien stuff, you know, and then people are like, well, why would they make them? I'm like, man, you're fucking isolated on an island. You got nothing else to do.
Well, isolated on an island, but I think probably at that time, they were probably all connected by a big archipelago, kind of like New Zealand and... what's the other island around there?
Australia?
Well, yes. the big one
out there. Fiji's pretty close as well. And then you got...
Samoa?
Yeah, New Guinea. Papua New Guinea, above Bali.
Like they said, that's how people got there eventually, because it was all connected.
Yeah, it was all connected originally. Yep.
Big archipelago or something. Yeah, but
oh, well, that makes sense then.
But and then, like, separated.
Yeah, but when they discovered the island, there wasn't discovered on Easter Day. That's why it's called Easter Island. But there isn't that many people on there.
Yeah,
like, the people that there had deteriorated to such a state, like you wouldn't believe that they would be able to move those or craft them.
Yeah. But that would make sense in the, because I did read that, and they were saying that it's basically because they figured that the natives of the island were chopping the trees down, thinking they would just grow back, and
they didn't.
They didn't.
They starved themselves in the end.
Yeah, they ended up starving themselves. But that would make sense why you see there's so many unfinished works there, right? I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, some of them have, like, full torsos and stuff buried in the ground. It's weird, and I'd 100% love to go see them. It's crazy that people did that, but I don't know, when I look into it, it's not like, I don't see any theory that's facts that kind of, like, you know, really, like, rise suspicion in me. It's like, it's pretty, for me, it's a cut and dry case. I think it's man, I think it's man-made. So I don't think that's, you know, there's not too much more of that.
No alien theories at all on that one?
Well, like, all the alien theories, there's nothing really good other than, like, someone will be like, oh, it's they're carving the heads to look like the alien overlord. And you're like, okay, like, elaborate?
Speculation on speculation?
Yeah.
There was an episode of Gargoyles where they met the the Easter Island Head alien guy.
Yeah,
how do you remember that
TV show? You remember that episode?
I don't remember the episode.
I don't remember that episode. I was like four. I remember watching it. I did enjoy Gargoyles. You know what? Was it you or I who bought the Gargoyle shirt?
I bought the shirt.
You bought the shirt.
With the main gargoyle? What was his name?
I can't remember their names. Dan, you probably remember their names, don't you?
Goliath was the big one.
That was the main, the leader?
And then the rest of them were named after like parts of New York. And it was like Brooklyn and Bronx and... I don't remember the other ones. Lexington?
Lexington? Like that. Sure.
I think Lexington was a smart one.
But yeah, for me, Easter Island, it's like I'm putting that one to pasture. I don't think there's any belief... As of right now, with the facts that I have and the facts that I've looked up and the videos I've watched, nothing
really jumps out at you.
Nothing jumps out at me that I want to be like, oh wait, there's something more to this. Like there's it's worth digging in more. Like people are like aliens moved them, and it's like,
okay,
why? Like, is that really? Like, there's way like. What was that one we were looking up in Egypt, and it's the obelisk? How do I say it?
Obelisk,
yeah. It was being crafted, and it's just laying, and it's fully cut in the stone.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
And it's laying down, and they hadn't finished it, but it's like they were going to cut that, and they were going to move that.
They were going to try and stand it, and it was 90 feet tall.
Yeah, and we don't have cranes. They're like, we not many modern-day cranes could lift that. So, like, they're like, well, you know, how the hell were they going to do it? Like, that one's weird. And maybe we should do one more on Egypt, weird Egypt stuffs another time. But Easter Island, dead in the water.
Man-made. You heard it. Braden's debunking Easter Island.
Bunked. Boom.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, drop the mic.
Dan, what do you got?
All right, mine. All right, I've got... Göbekli Tepe.
Ooh, I really like this
name. It's a really cool name.
Yeah, I love the name.
Okay, Göbekli Tepe is a site in one of the provinces in Turkey, in the south, I would say the southeastern part of Turkey, like right near on the border. And this site was pretty much only first discovered in like the 60s, and it's recently started to beginning excavation under one guy named Klaus Schmidt. He's been there since 1994. He's a German archaeologist. Basically what it is, it's this... collection of megalithic sites. There's one. They've excavated about four circular.
Uh-oh.
We're inside. It's basically four huge stone circles with 5.5 meter tall T-shaped pillars, and all carved from a single stone. The pillars themselves. What's unusual about it is that this site, Göbekli Tepe, has been dated to about 11,500 years old.
Jesus. So that's, what?
Now,
it's like the oldest. This is, yeah, that's the oldest one, 100%, right?
Actually, it is the oldest. It's the oldest megalithic structure in recorded history that we've ever found. And just to put it in perspective, it's 6,000 years older than Stonehenge and 7,000 years older than the pyramids.
Whoa.
Is what they're putting in.
And they do that by like the carbon dating, like the same kind of ways they do everything
else. Yeah, radiocarbon dating, most of the stuff that they found there. Now, the four stone circles that they've have like mainly excavated, that isn't the whole complex. Like the complex itself, they've used ground penetrating radar to measure it out at about they said 300 by 300 meters.
Oh, that's pretty big, man. Holy.
Yeah. On the structures themselves, they found carvings, and they're not exactly, nobody's really sure what they are. Like the carvings, the pillars themselves, they look like they have what looks like arms carved into the stone, so they're thinking that there may be some sort of like stylized humans shapes is what they are. They're supposed to represent humans of some sort, but there's theories of they might represent like either ancestors or gods,
aliens,
something like that.
Oh, and please say aliens.
Please say aliens.
And now I said it was 11,500 years old. That's the ones that they've excavated, and those are at the top. And there's actually the ground perigee radar revealed a smaller a corner of the area that they think might date back to almost 14,000 to 15,000 years before. Now, those 14,000 to 15,000 years ago, that's 4,000 years before we human beings started farming, or we find the earliest signs of people beginning to be able to farm.
Yeah, like agriculture and shit.
Like 9,000 years ago is what they date the Neolithic Revolution is where people started farming and domesticating animals. So this structure was built. These huge stones were moved. Some of them people think like they're before they made the tools, or they had the tools or the ability to build this.
Yeah.
So it's really strange.
Yeah, because this totally would shake up like our understanding of like how we came about, how humans.
So this is before recorded history, pretty much.
It like changes the timeline on
it's
everything.
It's before written history. It's because most archaeologists before now have, you know, they theorized that what came first, we were hunter gatherers, then we became farmers, and then as we became farmers, that gave us, you know, we weren't nomadic anymore, so we had time to like sit down and think about religion and build temples. But this place is they've found animal bones in the structures or around the structures, and these bones are all from wild animals. They're not domesticated, so that the people that built these were still hunter-gatherers. They weren't farmers.
Oh, that's crazy. So they're just finding time on the weekends.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, why would you build this? There's no... They haven't figured out why people would build this huge structure, this huge complex. Like, why would you stick it up? What reason do you have?
Is there any, like the pyramids in Egypt, like we did the episode before and we talked about how that is probably remnants of an ancient civilization then this taken over by like a newer civilization, less advanced? Is there anything like that? Like any type of mathematical or like precise like engineering in that?
I wonder if it's still too new though, because they're just starting to dig it up in like 2012. I keep doing that.
Well, yeah.
They just started digging stuff up like in the last 10 years. Like they've started excavating it seriously, and like they're still finding parts of it. Like it's what's even more strange is actually that this site is actually pretty well preserved in terms of how old it is, and that's because it was backfilled. It was intentionally buried about 2,000 or 3,000 years after it was built,
like trying to hide something or...
It was backfilled in by the people who built it, or back like 2,000 over a period of 1,000 years. Like they backfilled it in, like they buried it intentionally. It wasn't nothing. There was no mudslide. There was no nothing. Earthquake or any signs of earthquake. They buried it.
That's super strange. So what are the theories? What's the best theories you've come across in your studies?
Okay, the one that I kind of like is that the people who built this were, because if you look at some of the timeline when it was built, 11,000 maybe parts of it 11,000 years ago, that's where some people place the sinking of Atlantis from Plato's narrative.
Right.
It was about then Plato's narrative. It was said like it was 9,000 years before he was born, which would put it at about 9,000, 10,000 years. He was born in 400 BC, so something like that, somewhere around that. I think so.
And so
it could have been Atlanteans putting their knowledge forth and helping these people who were hunter-gatherers to save some sort of knowledge of what they had. But I mean, they're still looking for a what they call like a central mound, because like I said, like this place was backfilled in, right? But they built structures on top of it, and they pretty much got smaller and smaller as they go up. Like they would bury one and then they would build the smaller one on top, and then they bury that one and they build a smaller one on top. It's kind of like Rome, where it's kind of they have like they just built on top of it, you know?
Yeah, just kept building on top. Huh. That's crazy. So they don't even know where, like, they're someone listening is going to love this. They found the tip of the iceberg at this point.
They're still digging. So
what do you mean someone's going to look
at it? It could be anything. It could be, I want to say Atlanteans, because I mean it's not that far in from the Mediterranean, and from some maps I've seen of like the stretch of the Atlantean Empire, like they stretched well into there, and it could have, I don't know, maybe some refugees from Atlantis coming down in there trying to start religion.
Where was Atlantis? Like it was off the coast of Spain. They thought like the city of Atlantis somewhere.
Right, but they had like moved into parts of. They said they had moved as far as Libya. Some of the things like they controlled like parts of Libya in there. So until like a confederation of like Athens and some other. I mean, this is from Plato's. From Plato's narrative, is basically like a confederation between like Athens and a bunch of other provinces and stuff united and fought the Atlanteans, and until they eventually that the horrible cataclysm which sunk them, you know, sunk their whole city.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Atlantis. I've heard a whole bunch of different theories, but I haven't really looked into. But we're gonna do Atlantis
one day. Yeah.
One day, yeah. Straight Atlantis.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I mean, this one guy, I would push it in there with that one. Some other people are. Some either posit that it could be evidence of a Nephilim civilization, or you know, giants, something like that. Like these 11,000 years ago, some people also kind of posited that this was like a little bit after, I think it was a little bit after like the flood, the Great Flood, or whichever they would have guessed it at, or whatever. That not just Christian religion, but other ones such as Mesopotamian religions also identify as like something happened. There was a Great Flood, and all this stuff happened, but some people kind of put it in there. So some people think that they built this temple in order to ward off further cataclysms, to make it stop and hope that that would work.
Oh, like, yeah, this was like the first religious spot, really.
Right.
Right. To like,
so it could have been that. And then, but they've also found evidence of smaller settlements around this area that date after the completion of Göbekli Tepe. Like they found other settlements, smaller settlements, and basically what all these settlements had in common is they had a smaller form or of the megalithic circles that they built at Göbekli Tepe. Like they built smaller little versions of it in their towns.
Huh. Weird. So, kind of like saying that they're part of the, you know, maybe it was some sort of monument to their, right, to say they're all part of the one group or something.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of stuff around it, but like you said, it's just the tip of the iceberg. There's still more.
Yeah, that's exciting to see. Like, I wonder what they're going to find out, man. It'd be kind of cool if they start finding out, like, unraveling mysteries, like they're in the pyramid with all the mathematics and stuff. I'm going to keep a close eye on that one. That's cool. Yeah.
They're still not sure. Like, those T-shapes, they could be maybe star people, because, I mean, there are civilizations around there, like the Dogon people, who believe that star people came from the constellation of Sirius and kick-started human civilization, and this was part of it. Like, this was the beginning. One of the beginnings.
I've also heard the theory of Atlantis was inhabited by the Aryans. You ever heard of the Aryans, Dan?
Yeah.
The Aryans, and they say that, well, that's part of the Hollow Earth theory, right? The Aryans are in the center of the Earth, and they've been in charge.
Yeah,
We actually had
part of it. Like,
we had a guy give us a really good theory on that.
Yeah.
I can't do it justice by explaining it now, but he was saying that the Aryans have been there for so long, and they have cultivated different species based on their own genes, like out of fish, out of birds, and now us as a new out of reptiles and now humans from apes. And then,
right.
And then each species that they've bred with their genes to become like a humanoid figure is destined for a different planet.
Right.
And
okay.
And they say it's like our time. We're just entering our time when we're supposed to leave this planet because it's inevitable that eventually there'll be a cataclysm where the surface of this planet will be destroyed once again.
So, oh snap!
Yeah, this guy that's a great theory.
That jives with the Anunnaki, like how they always showed some sort of like they said they showed a lot of like bird like figures. And lizard-like figures, like when they in depictions in ancient Sumerian carvings and stuff like that, the Anunnaki were the you know they were like the demigods or you know angels, and they were bird-headed or they had wings or lizard-headed or bull-headed, like they had some sort of animal form. So I mean sounds cool.
It's a really cool theory, and we're gonna
tackle that.
Episode 20. We're doing Hollow Earth because that is just a. The more I read into it, the more I think about it, and the more videos I've watched about how a planet could form hollow because of gravity, it gains more traction with
definitely
me.
Definitely intriguing. Very intriguing stuff. I watched a couple of videos last night. And
then it jumps back to Operation High Jump and the South Pole being like militarized now, and that's one of the entrances, and the North Pole is so hard to get to, and the climate is so terrible that you almost can't get that way. So the South Pole is the way to go, but you can't go there because it's all militarized now. So, and I guess planes don't fly over the poles. They say because of magnetic interference, but could because they don't want anyone to see those holes at the top and bottom of the Earth. But
I just my thing is like why not? Like who gives a you know what I mean? Like it's such a weird thing to hide now. Like for me, I'm like oh like who like.
Well, then it connects back because if you believe in the Hollow Earth theory and the Aryan race and Hitler like making contact with these Aryans, and that's why they said that Hitler, like the Aryan race, because they had, the Aryans, I guess, had like blue skin and blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
So they like any German or anyone who had blue or at least blue eyes and especially blonde hair, like you're Aryan, you are the next, you're the super race.
Yeah.
Because they've made contact with this like advanced alien race that's been living in the world and kind of like tampering with us, our whole existence.
That's crazy, man.
But yeah, well, that's a theory on its own. Yeah, we're gonna get back to that one.
We'll do that one, and we'll dedicate a full time for that one.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm done. That's all I got on Göbekli Tepe as far as theories go and information.
Man, it's definitely that's a cool one, man. It's cool that we find something that old like now, because you always think that everything's been found. So it's cool to find something, especially that old, like just mind-blowingly old.
It's crazy that
it definitely is something that will. It has changed the way that we perceive, like our earlier ancestors, or the way that we think that civilization developed. It's definitely something that's pushing it's challenging the accepted views of history.
Like being something that old. Civilization could have started and stopped multiple times since then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you become advanced and then your economy collapses and everyone goes, it's like another dark age and then that's lost and then who knows how many cycles it's been through, right?
The thing is, like, how many more of those are still yet undiscovered?
Yeah, exactly.
And the big one for me is the oceans. Like you talk about Atlantis and that. What is still, like, I was looking at a video the other day, the deepest parts of the ocean is like 11 kilometers down.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. Like, what is down there, like, that we are not able to reach to? And what could be down there? And like you're saying, like, this hollow earth.
Oh, man. I totally agree, because it's so crazy that we have explored more of our solar system with probes and stuff than we have underneath our oceans.
Yeah.
Like, we've only got, like, a small percentage mapped of the bottom of the ocean. And, like, what's down there, what type of... They're always finding new animals and... new like underground mountain ranges, and who knows what's underneath.
It's crazy, man.
There was this drill, I think they did it in Russia, and like it was like a 25-year drilling thing. I can't remember what it is, but they drilled as deep as they could, like the deepest humans have ever drilled. It was like I can't remember how deep it was. Byron, you know, do you have any idea?
I know the one you're talking about,
it was,
though.
It was so deep.
How low did they go?
They went fucking low. Really, really, really low. And they found traces when they drilled like over, like they drilled like 10 kilometers down or something, like really deep. And when they got really deep where they thought there'd be nothing but just straight bedrock, they found water. So they said there's traces of a second ocean underneath the crust. There's people saying there's an ocean underneath the crust of the Earth that is as big as the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, my
so
God.
So it's like there's a, the theory we're taught about the Earth is that it's like completely solid, but it's just a theory. There's no real proof because you can't really check, right?
Yeah.
But when these people drilled, they found traces of water like way deeper than you'd ever think water would be.
Yeah. That's blows my mind.
But anyways.
Okay.
So the drilling, sorry, just really quickly. Oh, yeah, the drilling began the 24th of May, 1970. And the borehole, the deepest reached 12,262 meters long. So that's holy over 12 shit. Kilometers.
Oh, my God.
40,000 feet. In 1989, and still is the deepest artificial point on Earth.
Jesus.
Man, that's crazy.
In terms of true depth, it is the deepest borehole in the world. For two decades, it was also the world's largest borehole.
Yeah, that's fucking nuts. So
crazy.
Stay tuned for more Hollow Earth and Earth geography case file
20 yeah
for sure.
Anyways,
we got Stonehenge. People have been asking for Stonehenge.
Oh, lots of Stonehenge.
A lot of Stonehenge.
Obviously they haven't looked up Stonehenge.
I mean, Stonehenge is fucking cool. It really is. It's like a cool it's a cool shape, you know. It's like it's some cool stones are stacked on top of each other. So anyone who doesn't know what Stonehenge is, it's in
Google it. You find an old Stonehenge from us, like
come out from your own stone and find a book.
Anyways, located, it's in Salisbury Plain, that's somewhere in fucking UK. I don't know exactly where it is. They say it was built between 3000 and 2000 BC, so what, 5000 years? And they estimate that it was built over 1500 years, which is a long fucking time.
Yeah.
A really long time.
So it took them 1500 years to build.
They say like they slowly added to like Stonehenge,
right,
and what's referred to as the Superhenge, which they found after, which is like it's like 20 20 kilometers away or something, and it is another henge, right? It's a big circular stone structure, but it was buried under the ground slightly, so they didn't really know it was there until they seen like aerial and like satellite footage, and they realized there was another Superhenge around it. But it's the same kind of thing. It's a circle built from stones. They call them the Sarsen stones, which are these big ones that stand upright, and they have one stacked across.
And they're not found.
They're not found close. They say they're found like 200 miles away in Wales, Preseli.
Oh my God! So far,
so that's a long fucking way to haul. They say they're up to like 9 tons or 9 to 25 tons. These big Sarsen stones, which is a big stone.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's a heavy.
That's really heavy. It's you had to move it 200 miles.
I wouldn't do it.
No wonder it took 15,000 or
1,500 years.
1,500 years.
Well, it's one of those things. It's so old, but it's cool. They say they 200 miles away, they drag these stones over and they stacked them up. What's the relevance of them? I don't know. Really, there's a couple different theories. They found around Stonehenge is like a burial site, like cremated bones, more than like it would have been like 50 or 60 people's worth of bones. So they say it's like a burial site for the elite of that time, whenever civilization was there. Maybe they're kings or
whatever they
revered, I guess. They've said it's a place for healing because a lot of the skeletons that were there, I guess, were found with injuries or signs of sickness, either like broken bones or
lifting stone.
Yeah. They get broken backs.
They had the workers just die. They're like, I'll fucking bury him right underneath the stone.
Just like the Great Wall. Pack them in. Part of the wall now.
So whoever built these things, they are aligned in like an astronomical kind of sense as they point to like the solstices. Is it solstice or equinox? What's in this fall? Fall and spring? Equinox.
Equinox is solstice is, yes. No. I don't know.
Well, fuck, I had it. Sure. Well, I'm going to find it real quick here.
Wait, isn't solstice the shortest day? Is like the shortest?
Yeah, solstice is the shortest and longest days. That's right.
So I'm
so they're aligned, man. I can't remember what, but they're aligned to the solstice in the winter and summer, or the equinox in the fall and spring. So they have like a slight astrological alignment, but it's not like the pyramids or anything. Yeah. Like, there's nothing like that precise.
And to be honest, I've seen videos of like, again, videos with like logical theories of how you could possibly do it, and I've seen where they build up, they like bury stones, they build up the dirt, they drag like one of the pillars up onto the dirt, and then they dig away the dirt and it's on top.
Yeah, I've seen that
and
video.
I'm like, and there's all sorts of other ones, digging a pit, leaning it in, stuff like that to getting standard. And like when I watch those, I go, yeah, that makes sense. You could do that. Where it's different, where like you watch the pyramid ones and shit, there's not one where it's like, there's not a video that logically shows me how they built those pyramids.
How they could pull a stone, a 20-ton stone up 40 stories, right?
Yeah, like that doesn't make sense. And Stonehenge, again, it's just one of those ones. You look into it and you're just, aside from just like, oh, it's an alien landing pad. And you're like, well.
Okay, on the theory of alien landing pad, again, we're alien theorists.
Yeah.
We love aliens.
I love aliens.
I believe in aliens.
I got way better alien landing pad theories coming up.
But I feel like if you have an alien ship, you don't need a pad full of stones to take off the ground.
Yeah.
If it's an anti-gravitational spinning magnetic disc that can just defy the laws of physics, you don't need a stone to take off, I don't think.
Ooh, imagine the poles had shifted and that was where the hole to this hollow earth was at one point.
I haven't seen any reference to that, but we should look into it.
Gateway.
Yeah, that was it right there.
Before. But no, as in, let's go back to the moving of these stones. There was this guy, his name, this is a great name. Ready for it?
Yeah.
Wally Wallington.
They really got creative, eh?
Wally Wallington.
Oh, Wally Wallington.
He was a guy, he like built Stonehenge in his backyard, and he proved that you could move these stones like relatively easy.
Yeah.
So I guess
put him in the back of a truck or what?
No.
Crane?
A really big truck. So he moved a relatively small stone. It was 1 ton, but he moved it by himself with using acorn-sized circular rocks, like a whole bunch of them, and he had the stone on him, and he just pushed it. He could move it 300 feet per hour.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So he'd move
it. That's pretty awesome.
He'd move it. He'd go.
Good on Wally.
He'd go scoop up all the like these pretty much marbles, right? These big marbles, and then he'd spread them out, and he'd push them a little farther, and he'd scoop them up and push them a little farther.
The ground underneath, though, would have to be pretty hard to get the rolling sensation, of course. So like it's...
Ideal conditions, these little stones would work.
Yeah.
But let's say you can roll that kind of shit on a log.
Gets a little rainy. And you know what? I think Britain's pretty famous for being pretty rainy, though.
It's, not good.
Yeah, it's probably not. And let's say it was unideal conditions. You had to move this thing 200 miles. It's a long way. Obviously, you're not going to have...
Did they have domesticated, like animals of work? What is it? Animals of labor?
I don't know.
Labor
so, this would have been 5,000 years ago, so I'm sure they probably would have had some oxen or whatever, but...
Okay. All
right. But even if you had 100 people and everyone's pushing and rolling over logs or whatever. To move, I could see if these stones were stacked like stories high, it's different. But just to have a rough circle inside a rough circle pretty much is what Stonehenge is.
Right. So it's not really, it's not really a question of how they built it. It's more like why.
Yeah.
Like, why would you put that there?
Well,
why?
So another good one is it was the acoustics of Stonehenge, the way it's shaped in a circle. Kind of resembles like a big cathedral church. So when you talk at one end, the way it echoes off the stones can be heard like through the whole ground.
Oh,
so when they have like in old churches, like in Europe and stuff, when they're obviously no electricity, no microphones, they would build the acoustics. It was called the golden ratio. So they build it by length times width by height by a certain ratio, and that like travels sound the best. And I guess Stonehenge has similar characteristics. So if you just stand on one side and talk, it would echo off the stones. You can hear on the other side.
Bounce off and be clear enough to hear and understand. Yeah,
like just like you're a few feet away from the person instead of 50 feet or whatever, right?
Yeah, so maybe it's like...
So it's kind of like a spiritual, or that's what kind of like the cremation and the burials kind of make sense. Like it was kind of their sacred place, right?
Yeah, but again...
And I know everyone wants to hear like aliens built Stonehenge. Aliens,
yeah.
And you know what?
Maybe I'm
Maybe they did. I can't say they didn't.
I'm just saying they should have built something more like the pyramids. You know, they're fucking... It's shitty craftsmanship by them if they did that.
You know, maybe that was aliens before they had their technology.
Before they practiced with Stonehenge? They were building their way up.
Yeah, they practiced with Stonehenge and they kept moving around and then you got to the pyramids like, now we got it.
Now we got it. Yeah. We figured this out.
Yeah. Still...
What? Dan? You cut out real quick.
I would say almost the best examples of... Like engineering, the way that they engineered stuff is so still some of it's still close to impossible or very difficult for us to reproduce. Like even like their sculptures and like the way they did things. Like if it's hard for us who have, you know, we have the ability to like machine tools and stuff, and it's still hard. And the fact that they were working with, you know, what we're theory of copper, chisels, bronze right? age, copper age, you know, tools. And you're like, what?
Yeah, but Stonehenge isn't an example of that. Stonehenge is just like lift things up.
I pick things up, I put them down.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much, that's it. But yeah, but there's, I agree, there's other ones where it's mind boggling. We're going to talk, I think Ryan's got to want to talk about, you want to get right into that one there? Puma Punka or whatever.
Oh, we briefly looked at that one, but that is...
Oh, Pumapunku. Pumapunku. I was about to say it needs an honorable mention. That definitely is a pretty cool one.
They have precision machined stones there, which could not be made with a chisel at that time.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, you look at the edges and stuff on those stones. Like, we watched a video, and this guy, the guy in the video was out to lunch.
He was crazy. A little bit, but...
But like he showed a video of all the stones, and you look at the stones and the craftsmanship, and you can see where some have like the key locks carved into them, right? Where they obviously would slide two blocks together and then put something to lock them in.
They said that those stones were cut, it wasn't a right angle of the slot, it was a dovetail, so it was like 15 degrees.
Yeah.
Dovetail is like, it's a really tight fitting joint. It's like in woodworking, it's awesome.
Yeah.
To do it with stones, I could not imagine. How you could not cut a dovetail in stone, I don't think, without some type of laser.
What was like the makeup of these rocks? Like how hard or how soft the density?
Amethyst?
There was, in that one, I think there was two, there was sandstone.
Which is
sandstone you can work
slightly
with.
Slightly softer, but there was another stone.
I think, I want to say, it starts with an A. Can't remember now.
Because I'm just flipping through some pictures now, because it's the first time I've heard and seen these, and... It's incredible the way the detail and how well they're still preserved. Yeah. Like, I don't know how old they are, but
I think they dated from 530 to 600 AD is when they built it, or that's when that's when the radiocarbon puts it at.
Yeah.
Amethyst rock. It's something
amethyst?
Hard.
Amethyst is a gemstone. I think.
Okay. Yeah. I've been playing too many video games.
Yeah, you're playing too much Diablo.
Yeah, I think that's from Diablo. But it starts with an A, and it's hard. Like the other rock's hard. Not
Amara?
Amara?
Andesite.
That's the one.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's a hard stone.
And it's precision machined.
And it's like the edges and the corners and how tight they fit together is insane. There's no way someone was chiseling that. Like, no, I can't. I don't believe it. They're so smooth.
Yeah, that one's on the same level as pyramids to me, as the level of precision of the stone.
Yeah, and the blocks and the altitude was 13,000.
They're like 13,000 feet or whatever, so way above the standard tree line, right? In the Alpine, really, even though it's in Bolivia, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if what the snow conditions there are, but that's high. That's thin air.
Yeah.
And then
I think it's been like in the middle of pretty far.
Dan?
Yeah.
What happened?
You aliened out
and peeked, blew our ears off there for a second. Man, the video we watched too, it was saying that like some of these key locks, they think they would melt bronze and then they'd pour bronze into them and stuff. And like they're like at 13,000 feet, like that's hard to do, to get something hard enough.
Any type of foundry style, like melting metal.
Yeah.
Is advanced.
Yeah. And like those stones, and like some of them are like inset and like have H's, like the H blocks, and then They have designs. I guess there's only one design on all of them. I can't remember.
They didn't find any really, no hieroglyphs or any characters or anything like that.
But yeah, those ones, man. Puma Punka is crazy. Like, if you, what is it? Puma Punka? I always think I say it wrong.
Puma Punku, PUMAPUNKU.
Puma Punku.
Puma Punku.
Puma Punku. Puma Punku.
Puma Punku.
Puma Punku. Okay, I got it.
You got it.
But yeah, that's if you haven't seen or heard of that, look it up, man. Those stones, like,
it's cool.
It is just stones, and there isn't too many theories out on it, other than there's no way that they could have been using chisels. They had to be using some sort of.
It's the same type of thing as the pyramids. Is yeah. They have like precision, like perfect circles and flat, perfect right angles. And like stuff that you just.
Well, it's not even the right angles. They look dovetails, the stones. Right? It's
yeah, well, yeah, there's dovetails, but also like perfect square.
Yeah.
Perfect square corners.
Like come to a perfect edge. Because
we both watched that documentary together and we're like, that looks like a formed concrete block.
Yeah.
It's so smooth.
Yeah.
It looked like they formed it and like used a vibrator and made it like perfect concrete, is what it looked like.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not concrete. Solid it's straight rock. Yeah. It's
really yeah, weird. The site is located pretty much. Near Lake Titicaca, which is great.
What was the lake?
Lake Titicaca.
I said titty. Egg caca. Oh, shit.
That's the best lake.
Sorry, what was that, Dan? What were you talking about?
But good UFO theories about Lake Titicaca, like its connection to unidentified submerged objects. Stuff coming in, going out.
Oh,
like there's been sightings around there. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
I know this. I mean, a lot of the South American cultures are really in down to they have their sky god that came down and gave them the knowledge and whatever. Taught them that gold is really important. Give it all to me.
Yeah,
and so some of that is kind of in there. Byron, so maybe this was part of it.
Byron is motioning for three titties.
Three titty island?
Three titty aliens?
Three titties. Titica?
Yeah.
Lake Total Recall.
Exactly. Oh.
Yep.
It's a great movie.
Great movie.
Speaking of South American countries that love their sky aliens, Southern Peru, Nazca lines.
Yeah, here we go. New one.
So created, they figure they're created between 500 BCE and 500 CE. I don't really, I think before Christ, and then I don't know what CE means.
Common era.
Common era. Okay, perfect. And like, so if you don't know what these are, they're basically these huge designs. The largest one is 200 meters across, 660 feet.
They're insane, actually.
And they're carved in the dirt so how they're made is there's like two, the area first off is the weather doesn't really change. It's always kind of the same, and it's on these plains.
It doesn't really rain there, right?
It doesn't really rain. It doesn't. The temperature never really changes. And what they do is they remove the dirt to get to the white underlayer, and they've carved out these huge designs. They have hummingbirds, spiders, monkeys, sharks. I wrote here 70 plus are zoomorphic, which are animals in nature, and the rest are phytomorphic, which are trees and flowers. The largest, the pelican, this is the one, it looks like an airport. Like this one is where people believe that there's it's an alien landing pad. And like when you look at it, it looks like airport runways kind of like going off every way. And that one... Yeah, people say maybe it's sky gods and stuff, but it's when I see that one and people are talking about like ancient landing pads, like I go to that one, the Pelican, Nazca lines. Look it up. It definitely looks to me like some sort of airport, and it's just insane how they're made. And there's that's not the one. Byron's showing me a picture.
They're so big. How would you ever make draw that on the ground? I have no idea.
Now I have read that it's widely reported that you can only see them from an airplane, but I've read conflicting reports that say you can see some of them from the nearby foothills, but at the same time, you look at some of the designs, and they're so intricate, and like you're so far away to go see them that the time it would take to go and because it's like digging a 2-foot ditch, I guess, through the whole thing, right?
Through rock and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And there's
I'm picturing somebody standing on the foothills, like watching them as they're making it.
Is that good? Fill it in.
He's got to run down the hill every
like
time.
Like a messenger running back and forth, and it's like
it'd be the slowest process. Yeah, you'd be like, yeah. No, 2 feet to the left. Go tell him.
Oh, you tell him to go fuck right off.
I've been down there 40 fucking times today. Fill it back in. Do it again.
Yeah.
Duty rules. We're going home. We're not moving it.
But like the designs are intricate. And the one, I would say the one that gets the most attention is the astronaut. And basically this one is, it's 105 feet tall. And it's a man with an unusual round head.
I'm looking at that one right now.
Googly eyes. And his index finger pointing to the sky.
ET? And,
yeah, it's, you know, that's what lots of people say, is they say that's a...
Talking about this one?
Yeah, that's the one.
His finger's pointing to the sky?
Yeah, that's what they say. I don't see a finger really there. Oh, unless that's a little arm there. It's got a little stick arm.
It's definitely...
They got lazy.
Oh, I fucked up my mic. Whoops.
But yeah, they say that one's evidence of like that culture... You know, signaling to the heavens or
phoning home.
Yeah, right.
And I think like the plateau that they're built on, like where they're built, is like it's in the middle of nowhere, and it's like it's one of the most inhospitable like regions in the world. Like it's just pure desert.
Yeah,
like,
there's no rainfall. Doesn't change.
Yeah, there's no precipitation at all.
So no, it's not an easy thing. You know, what's a cool theory? Actually, I just thought of now. It because it is such a shithole to live. Maybe that was some sort of, like, because we were talking about how shitty it would be to do that. Maybe that was, like, some punishment. They're like, yo, like, you stole some bread.
You fucked up.
We're going to hike out to the desert. We're all going to sit in the foothold. And you're going to dig us a spider in the hill.
That's
God
true.
God damn it. And you're like, that's your punishment.
No, I found
I've heard that it might have had some sort of, like, religious significance, that they could have been, like some sort of shamans. Like, they would walk the designs, like they would walk around them and for whatever, I don't know, praying for something.
Now Ryan found
a penance, or yeah,
Ryan found a picture of the astronaut, and it's highlighted.
It's like high, and, yeah, the lines are,
and that one looks, that one looks to me like a fisherman now.
A fisherman,
yeah. Right, do you see that? And he's holding a rod.
I don't really see anything. That's the problem,
really, because like if you look at this here, so there's a head and a hand. And here's his other little arm, and there's a fishing rod, and it's going down. And he's like, yo, I got some fish. We're going to post that picture.
He is offering the fish to the aliens?
Maybe, yeah. Come get some fish.
Fish is good. There's plenty of fish on the cod.
But I think, like, the Nazca lines, like, that one's a weird one to me.
They are super weird. They are really weird.
Because, like, why? Like, why? I don't understand. It's in such a weird area. Why take the time to just, like, hike that out and then, like, go up to a hill and be like, yeah, sweet. You want to do another one over there? Yeah, sure, I guess. Like, start digging. So that one to me is, I would say, the best evidence for me that it's people trying to signal maybe something they saw. Maybe they saw some aliens and they're trying to make contact.
Yeah.
Right?
I can get on board with that,
or
for sure.
The one, the Pelican, look at it. It's the landing. It looks like a landing pad. Like, it looks like a stretch of runway.
Like
where
landing strip, yeah.
And, you know, so maybe... You know, I've read before that maybe that's where they were signaled to come and land their UFOs and make contact. But that's the Nazca line. It's cool. Look it up.
They're way different than any other structure.
Yeah, 100%. You can't see them from space. You read a whole bunch of stuff about that.
I think you could if you had a big telescope from space, but you can just go
to
space.
Yeah, but then it's not seen from space.
That's what I mean, yeah.
So they're not visible because they're small enough to be... Well, I guess they're big enough that you can't see them down low, but or like make out what it is, but you have to be high enough...
Yeah, away from it. Because, yeah, if you were saying like 660 feet across, you're standing there looking at ditches, you'd be like, what are all these fucking ditches doing here?
Yeah.
What an inconvenience to walk.
Yeah, no shit.
And then you go up and you're like, oh, look at this.
It's a fucking fisherman.
It's a fisherman.
So if it was like a landing ship, they have to have a way of knowing where to come into, I guess.
Yeah.
An area somehow.
The landing strip is a stretch for me, in a way, because how they... I don't think UFOs would land on a strip. They would just land.
Well,
I don't know. And how would they know that of a landing strip? There was no planes at that time, right?
But then if you go to some of like...
At least it was just like a signaling, like a...
Oh, possibly, come this way
or whatever. Right?
But even for the landing strip, if you look at the like Roswell depictions of the UFOs that crashed, and they look like a lot like stealth fighters today, right? Maybe they did need some kind of runway.
I'd go back to the Atlantean theory, and that Atlantis had like a globe spanning network of just their empire, and they had probably the ability of flight. Like, they had craft that could fly, and maybe they weren't as advanced, because I'm with Zell. If you say, you know, UFOs, like, I don't think a craft that could travel faster than the speed of light to cover the distances between stars would need a runway
take off. Here's the thing, though. It's all good to travel the distance between stars, but coming into an atmosphere might be hard on a ship, right? So maybe they don't always send their main traveling ship in because, right, shit would burn up and it's hard. So maybe they send little probe ships.
Just like your military and stuff and like Border Patrol, you got the big mothership and then you've got little ones that go off to board the other ships.
Yeah.
Who knows? I feel like if you can travel across, say the theory is that these alien beings came from a different system and they had to travel light years to get here. If you have a ship that can do that, you have a ship that could enter a planet at a safe speed as to not get damaged, I think.
That's fair enough.
Like, if you have anti...
Speculation on speculation.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if you had a ship that was that advanced, I feel like if it was anti-gravity, like an anti-gravity ship, which is the only way really you could kind of get to those speeds, you could just descend into a planet like it was no big deal. The gravity pull wouldn't really pull you in and burn you up, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like our ships, if we get into space, coming back in, the speed and the heat was so extreme to get back in is like that's more of a feat than getting out, I think. But who knows?
Got anything else on megalithics? Anyone?
Nope.
Going. I don't think so. Going. I think I hit all mine.
Going.
I had none. Going.
That's it.
God's gone.
So there goes megalithic structures. Let's wrap up some business.
Wait, if you don't agree with what we have said,
and you have
some facts that we don't know,
yeah,
we would love to hear them.
You've listened to 12 of these. You know how ill prepared we are. Send us your facts.
We take all the facts we have and we make our best judgment.
Yeah, we make up our own facts sometimes. it's the easiest way to come up to conclusions. Just make your own.
Educated guesses. We don't make them up.
Whoa! Okay, whoa, so business.
You got business.
ATT Podcast brought to you by Meteor-Recording.com. Big sound, small room, big sound.
Every time you fuck it up, it's unbelievable how many times you can do this.
Write it down for him, mate. Write it down.
Well, you know, just like Dr. Ian Malkin, I will find a way to fuck it up. Just as life finds a way.
I was looking at the Twitter page, and it's got, you got the Dr. Ian Malcolm picture photo, and I'm like, did you guys like just look up like sexy Ian Malcolm? Like, is that what you typed in?
That's exactly what I typed in. I had the picture in mind. I was like, okay, sexy Ian Malcolm. Yep, there it is. Perfect.
You know what? We always say it's sponsored by Meteor-Recording. That is our studio.
Yeah,
we're not in someone else's studio.
No.
So that's our studio.
It's selfless plug.
It's a selfless plug.
Selfless? It's not selfless because
it's just a plug.
Yeah, it's a plug.
It's not selfish either.
Shameless plug.
Shameless?
I don't know.
It's just a plug. But here it is. I'm in here all the time. I'm working on shit. If you have a podcast or you have any type of audio you want to spice up, we got like a semi-pro studio here. We got a lot of good gear. I'll give you a first for free.
yeah, if you like the way ours sounds and you want yours to sound like that, we can't promise that, but we can try to get it close.
It all depends on your front end. If you got some shitty mics and a shitty preamp, then you're going to get a shitty sound. But if you have okay mics and an okay preamp and then send it over here, you get a better sound.
So, yeah, send us your sound.
Just send us your sounds anyway.
Always keep sending your requests. We have a fucking just enormous list of requests.
I love it.
I'm going to pin it to the wall in here so we don't forget. It's huge. It's insane.
Thanks, I like that idea.
Thanks to everyone who's been...
100 followers.
100 followers. Nice.
I hit 100. Yeah.
Yeah, we tweeted a picture of ourselves.
Probably like 20 of those are other podcasts, but...
Yeah, good on it. If you listen. Tattooed Bananas, they've been giving us tons of shout-outs. Thanks, guys.
We actually, we listened to their podcast. It was pretty funny, actually. It was just kind of quiet on our TV.
We were planning the podcast to listen. I'm going to give theirs another listen when I'm in the car today.
Tattooed Bananas, you send your files over here.
Yeah, we'll boost those.
They're a little quiet, but they're good.
Nicholas... I don't know. At Nick the Coon, he's got a podcast out, the shittiest podcast on the earth. Shittiest podcast on earth. we were supposed to talk to him earlier today, and he sent us a message saying, "Hey, boys, sorry, can't answer, at Disneyland, yo."
Does he work there?
I don't know.
Maybe he works there.
But
who cares? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
We'll catch you soon, Nick.
Thanks. We got an Xbox One crew starting.
The ATT Pod crew?
Yeah, ATT Pod crew. Shout out to, I'm going to butcher his name.
Butcher it.
And I talked to him on Xbox, so he's going to make fun of me.
Just get it out.
Kinyard.
Kinyard?
No, that's not it. Hold on, I got to pull it up. Kinyard. No, Kenny. He told me to call him Kenny. He's like, you probably can't pronounce my name. I was like, oh, I'll pronounce your name, no problem. He told me it once, and I was like, oh.
You know, you're right, mate. You're spot on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get that at all.
Kinyard. I'm blowing it.
You just keep
it
saying up. It the same, exact same way, so you
you're
must.
Not changing.
Yeah.
Kenny.
You said it four times
Kenny
the same
A.
way.
Kenny A.
You know who you are. You know who you are. And thanks for adding us on Xbox One.
We'll see. We'll be killing some Rebel Scum here shortly.
So add us on Xbox One. Renomon. We'll put it on Twitter. Cell4. Byron?
Dallo32.
Dallo32. We'll throw him up on there. Dan's a PC gamer. So
suck it.
Can't play with Dan.
I don't get on you guys are obsolete. You're the peasants.
Obsolete.
Mike Guido posted, "You guys don't look Canadian."
He
sent a
you
picture.
You look like an alien.
He sent a picture of the South Park Canadians.
Oh, Terrence and Phillip?
Yeah. So in that sense, I guess not.
Wait, look, for treasure.
My face is joined. I don't have a separate jaw from the top of my head, but...
Not many Canadians do. It's
which is what I was surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when surprised and disappointed.
When Byron first landed here, he was disappointed.
Came out of the plane full of glee and he's going to leave full of gloom.
Looking for treasure? No treasure.
Any other shout-outs we got to do? I feel like... there were some other people on Twitter who have been messaging us last night on Facebook.
You know, if you message us and we forgot, we're sorry, but we'll get to it.
Yeah, we do call it all the time. Can't remember anymore. I'm trying to think.
Well, Alien Theorizing has two somethings on
Facebook.
Oh, it's Mike. Oh, I was just looking at the exact same thing you're looking at.
Yeah. Mike, we're...
I'm not your buddy, guy.
Yeah, well, we're super Canadian, Mike. You know?
Super Canadian.
We're super Canadians is what we are.
Super
we
Canadians.
Have superpowers. I ate a meteor. So.
Yeah, I ate a meteor. Super Canadians. Canadians.
You guys can communicate telepathically with Moose.
Quickly,
don't fuck around with Moose. Don't even fuck around with those guys.
Yeah, you don't fuck around with Moose. They're not a laughing matter. They're not friendly.
They are mean.
You know what
and they
else?
Will kill you.
Beavers. Don't fuck with them either.
They'll tail slap you.
Yeah. Madison Elliott, she messaged us, she's like, I want to talk again soon. Yeah, we'll get you on the podcast again soon.
There's no promises.
No promises. In all honesty, though, we'll Skype you soon.
We probably will.
The other night, we were looking at who was online, and you weren't online. We would have called you then.
So. What we're going to start doing before the show, we're just going to, whoever's online.
Yeah, add us. What's our Skype?
Meteor.studios. Add us on Skype.
Yeah.
And before the show, we're just going to just talk to whoever.
We usually hang out for an hour, And as we're prepping everything, we usually pull some people. We'll send some calls out and
talk some conspiracies.
Yeah, we love doing that. So add us on Skype. Follow us on Twitter. At Truth Is Out There. And I think that's it for this week. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Barn.
I'm Dan.
Keep those eyes on the skies.